On May the 3rd, 2020, here at Sunday Sessions, in the Sunday afternoon service, the Lord gave Donna a tongue. And she gave the interpretation. Excuse me, she gave the tongue and I gave the interpretation of that tongue. I messed that up. Donna gave the tongue, I gave the interpretation of the tongue. And for probably 90 days or so now, every time that I've asked the Lord, is there something else that you'd like to say? Is there something else you have to say to us that needs to be repeated or that I've not spoken as you gave it to me? Tell me what that is and I'll speak it. And every time he reminded me of this tongue and interpretation. And I don't keep copies of these, and I don't remember them, to tell you the truth. I've got some that Donna made copies of, and they're on my computer. I looked at all of those, and I could not find this particular tongue and interpretation. And then Donna told me this morning that Karen had taken this and she had typed it out and she had sent it. And so Donna printed it out and I brought it with me and the Lord said, start with this today. So that's what I'm going to do. This morning. Yes, Karen Reese, this morning, sent this to Donna. And I think you'll see why as I read it. The Lord said, I want it to be fresh in your heart and mind who I am. Because the next 18 months are very important. The next 18 months are very critical. You will find the next 18 months really matter, and I am about to tell you why. Last Sunday was 9 months of that 18 months. There are 9 months yet to go for it to be 18 months. Now, going back to this interpretation. Now relax. I am going to put Donald Trump in the White House. Now listen to the next phrase. I am going to put him back in the White House. This day, mark it down that you heard the Spirit of God say, I will put Donald Trump back in the White House. You will hear all sorts of things in the next 18 months, but I wanted to refresh you in two ways. I wanted to refresh you regarding where you are at this moment in your life and all the things going on. But the second reason I wanted you to be refreshed in your understanding of who I am is so that in the next 18 months, you can readily and easily pick out what I am doing. Because I am going to do some things over the next 18 months. Are you starting to realize how much he emphasized 18 months? I'm going to do some things over the next 18 months that will literally blow the minds of the ungodly. They think they have a grip on this nation. I am shaking it loose. There has never been a prayer you prayed according to my will that I didn't hear. And because I heard it, I set out to answer. There are some prayers that some of you prayed some time ago according to my will, and you have been saying, where is the answer? Where is the answer? The answer is on the way. You prayed according to my will, and I heard you. I take your prayers according to my will more seriously than you do. You have prayed about your nation. You have prayed about the lying. You have prayed about the corruption. You prayed according to my will that I would correct these things and that I would straighten them out and that I would remove certain of the ungodly from their office. And it is my will to do that because they are fighting against me. So many have been taught about only a sweet God, a gentle God, a kind God, even seemingly a timid God. If you think that, you don't know me. I am kind, I am gentle, I am patient, but I also run out of patience. I also come to a point in time when it's the moment to deal with those who would abort my plan. I will deal swiftly. I will deal profoundly. There are things that you will see that if you don't recognize at first it is me, it may shock you. And you may wonder what is going on. So I came today to tell you it is me. Because you see, I know what's on the other side. I am already sitting in the heavenlies saying, ha, ha, ha. I am already laughing at their calamity. Why aren't you saying, ha, ha, ha? Join me in the laughter, because when you put it in my hands, it's over. Well, ha, ha, ha! Yeah, ha, 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 ha! Oh, ha, 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 ha. Lord, we put it in your hands. It's been a wild 9 months. Now, I won't get into discussions with you about what I think is going to happen the next 9 months. Because what I think is going to happen is purely speculation. Say this out loud. Speculation and prophecy are not the same thing. Been a lot of people speculating about a lot of different things. You can get your head so wrapped up in that that it's dangerous. Let the Lord take care of it. What I said is let the Lord take care of it. We are people of faith. And if you're a person of faith, then there's a whole lot of your life that you just simply let the Lord take care of. Because you don't know how to fix it. You don't know how to work it out. You can't figure it out. And so I just come to this point. I believe God. Now, there are many people, prophets, others that are not prophets, that through them the Lord has declared that President Trump will be back in the White House. I only know of one that has backed off, and that's absolutely not me. Now, don't even throw up those two words, what if. I don't live by what if. Now, the rest of my thoughts and my words today are based on these two scriptures, these scripture passages, as a matter of fact. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And with that, I want to use Isaiah chapter 59, verse 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Now, a few years ago, I heard a young man take this verse in Isaiah, and he changed the placement of the comma, or the comma, I should say, get the word right. I'm trying. Glory. Glory, glory, glory. I really believe that I'm supposed to get to a certain point in this message, just sharing with you the things the Lord's already given me, and I'm trying my best to stay in this realm where I can do that. So if some words don't come out quite right, you understand what's happening. That word is comma. It's not a coma. He put the comma in a different place. And he read the verse like this. When the enemy shall come in, comma, like a flood, the Lord shall lift up a standard. Now, don't say too many amens here, or I might mess you up. He proceeded to say that God was the one who would come in like a flood, not the devil. Wait a minute. Hold on. But it's very important to understand, it is the devil who mimics and imitates. It is never God our Father. If God wanted to use a flood, it would be the real thing. It would not be just something like a flood. According to what we find in Genesis chapter 7, I am quite sure that when it had rained nonstop for 40 days and 40 nights, and the water covered all the mountains, and Noah had been on that ark for over 150 days, I will guarantee you Noah was not thinking, wow, this seems like a flood. The flood was so devastating, God promised never to do that again. There can be times when so many things are going on, going wrong, all at the same time, and things seem to be so out of control that our imagination can take over. And if we don't get control of our thoughts, we will convince ourselves we are in the middle of a flood. Never allow yourself to forget we have the weapons necessary to control those thoughts and imaginations. We just simply have to use them. Now, another one of the devil's tactics is to try to convince people he is an angel of light. This is all about getting people to believe the wrong things. I'm talking about skillful deception. Paul explained it like this. After talking about people masquerading as apostles, I'm skipping down to verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 11. We have this. That doesn't surprise us. For even Satan transforms himself to appear as an angel of light. So it's no wonder his servants also go about pretending. So it's the devil that's like a flood. It's God that's the real deal. The devil pretends to be or makes himself appear as an angel of light. This is all pretense. The devil is not an angel of light. But he works through people to make them think he is. Now, we can see this going on right now in the political arena. Some of the worst scoundrels in this nation are pretending to be good people. And yet they lie and they cheat and they steal. And those who stand for what is right and good are being vilified as the evildoers. When Jesus was speaking about the devil, he said in John chapter 8, 44, he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So the devil can never be an angel of light. He can only pretend to be one and lie about it. Here's another example of the devil pretending to be something which he's not. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. The devil is not a lion. He tries to act like one, but Revelation 5:5 lets us know who the real lion is. Jesus is the real lion. And he does not just act like one, he is the real deal. And of course, we're talking about a spiritual lion and not a natural one. Now listen to this. Real lions roar after they have attacked and won, not before. They do not try to scare their prey they are hunting by roaring. That would only signal whatever they're chasing to run faster. The devil does not even know how to act like a lion. I found something else that I thought was really interesting. You might have known this, I didn't. When natural lions get old and lose their teeth, they are no longer able to hunt and attack, so they become the guards of the pride. Their entire purpose is to roar and to scare other animals away. And they actually do this to help the young lions. The devil is not a lion, but he walks around trying to act like one. He has lost his teeth. He just roars to try to make people believe he's something he is really not. He is all about fear. When God revealed to Isaiah the facts about the fall of Satan from his place in heaven, Isaiah was given a record of the very words spoken by Lucifer. It's in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. I will be like the Most High. The devil is not the Most High, and he never will be, but it has always been his desire to be thought of in that way. Say this out loud with me. It is the devil who wants to be something he is not. God never tries to be like anything. Isaiah 14:12 contains this interesting phrase, which didst weaken the nations. This is talking about something that happened before Adam and Eve were created. Now, we really don't have enough detail to even speculate about these nations. But this much we know. something existed somewhere which is described in this verse as nations. And in the process of his fall from the place God had created for him, Lucifer was hard at work doing damage to these nations. And God knew it, and God did not like it. And God said, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which this week in the nations. Before the creation of this world, the devil was cut down to the ground. And then after Adam and Eve sinned, God brought him even lower. God said to the devil, this is Genesis 3:14, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Now you know why God is feeding him dirt. Because he has no teeth. Just had to throw that in, okay? Now seriously, the devil has been on a downward spiral, ever since he decided to rise up against God. He's been going down, 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 down. And that downward spiral will continue until the day he winds up in the lake of fire. Now, there's no doubt about it. The devil is doing everything he can to weaken our nation. But he will not win. Now, listen to me very, very carefully. I've been building up to this. You could look at all that has happened, including the election being stolen, and you could conclude that our nation has been weakened by the devil. I choose to look at things differently. There is a line which was spoken in the movie, Torah, 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 which was attributed to Japanese General Yamamoto. Now, this movie was about the bombing of Pearl Harbor. And it has never been verified that General Yamamoto actually said this. But I do think he came to realize it. The words are these. I fear all we have done is to awaken a sleeping giant and filled him with a terrible resolve. I am talking to the devil, and I am talking to everyone on his side today when I make this declaration. You had better realize, after what you have done in the past year, and all you have really accomplished is awaken a sleeping giant, and you have filled her with a terrible resolve. And that sleeping giant is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe the church is waking up. And I am expecting the events to which we have been subjected to propel this nation and the rest of the world into the greatest spiritual awakening the world has ever known. We are engaged in a battle which we will win. In chapter 59 of this prophecy, named Isaiah, after the prophet, Isaiah spoke at length about the sin of the people, when suddenly he went from talking about that to talking about the Lord and those who choose what is right. Isaiah 59:15. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. He that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. P-R-E-Y. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Right now in our country, it appears that truth has failed. Those in places of power have no interest in the truth. Instead, those who stand for what is right have become the prey. Christianity is under attack, but God is more displeased over what is happening than you and I are. Why aren't these people being dealt with? Why isn't anyone speaking up and taking up the case for that which is right? President Donald J. Trump did. And this is what so many Americans love about him. And it is why so many evil people hate him. Isaiah prophesied the year 2020. You see where I get that? It's not in the Bible, no. But he prophesied our day in 2021. And he did that thousands of years ago. Now, this might apply to other times in history as well, but it certainly fits us today. I want you to look at the rest of verse 16. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto them. Let me back up and read that whole thing. Verse 16, and he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto them, and his righteousness, it sustained him. The Hebrew word for salvation means deliverance and victory. God will step in. God will act. Exactly when and how, I don't know. But I do have this example I can go by. The church was born during the terrible reign of the Roman Empire. Some of the most perverse people to ever live on planet Earth were in charge of that empire. How did God deal with it? He sent His only begotten Son to earth, and then He sent the Holy Ghost. That ought to give you great comfort. That ought to really encourage you. If right in the middle of the Roman Empire, Jesus was born. The Holy Ghost came. Wow. And on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and he began to preach. And Acts 2 records it. It says, but this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. I have emphasized that before. I want to do it even more strongly today. I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and before before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We are closer to this last great outpouring of the Holy Ghost than some people seem to realize. God knows how to overcome evil with good. But something else happens when men and women do not respond to the goodness of God. And Isaiah brings us these interesting words, which frankly I had never noticed. It's verse 17. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. What does that sound like? The armor of God. It's all spelled out clearly in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 through 17. And quite some time ago, I taught an entire series on this for weeks. And it's time for the church to get dressed like God. Dressed for battle. Now, you can get on our website, and you can watch and you can listen to the entire series that's there. So I'm not going to repeat it. Isaiah told us this is how the Lord is dressed. This is why Paul referred to it as the armor of God. The Lord is dressed and ready for battle. This is what is coming. And again, I do not have a timeline. And I want to be clear, this is not talking about something you and I will do. This is something God will do, and it will happen because God said so. According to their deeds, accordingly, He will repay fury to His adversaries, recompense to His enemies. To the islands He will repay recompense. There will be a payday for the evil that is going on in America. And I do not mean just in eternity. God is long-suffering. But read your Bible. Read a little history. God only tolerates wicked people just so long. Now, some people get real nervous when you start talking like this. Oh, but now if God does something to the ungodly, we'll suffer as well. No. No. You have to read the rest of this. All that is leading up to the verse we've quoted many times. I'm going to take my time with this. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west. Didn't quite sink in. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west. And His glory from the rising of the sun. You can preach this. You know where I'm going with this. The United States, the 48 states, actually includes the 49th. We have a western boundary. We have another boundary where the sun rises. Where are the major locales of the evil that has risen up to stop what God is doing in this nation? It's on the west and it's on the east. And that's where those people are from. So shall they fear the name of the Lord. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. I've seen a lot of things in my time on earth, but nothing like the past 4 years, and especially the past 9 months. The Lord has told me in so many ways, don't pay any attention to what the evil people in this world are doing. Stay focused on me. Watch what I do. And I am expecting to see a godly fear grip this nation. It is not something I can either do or cause. I cannot even use my faith to make it happen. God will do it. God will do it. Over the past 90 days, God has told me numerous times, I'm angry. I'm very angry. I talk to Him. I almost said all the time, and frankly, it's pretty much like that. Whatever I'm doing, when I'm quiet, many times I'm talking to the Lord. And often I've asked Him, is there anything else you want to say? Is there anything else you want me to tell the people that you've said? I'll be happy to do it. I'll be glad to do it. And over, He said, I'm very angry. I'm very angry. And so I have chosen to take a step back and watch what He does. I can tell you this much. I'm going to stay out of the way. Amen. I know whose side I'm on. I know who's on my side. And let me tell you, the Lord will lift up a standard against the devil. A standard is something lifted up so all the people can see it. You remember in the story of Moses and the people were being bitten by snakes? You remember that? And there was a huge pole that was put up so that whenever the people looked on it, they didn't die. They were delivered. That was a standard. A standard can be a banner. It can be a pole. Or more likely, a flag. Every nation has one. Every army has one. God has one. The standard has great meaning and great significance. Francis Scott Key wrote a poem, which was later set to music, and it became America's national anthem, the Star-Spangled Banner. During a battle in the War of 1812, one morning Key was inspired at daybreak by the sight of a lone U.S. flag still flying over Fort McHenry. And he wrote these words, "And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there." And may I say to you, the rumblings of impeaching President Trump again gave proof through the night that our flag is still there. Our nation has been bombarded by hell the past year. COVID-19, people dying, businesses going broke, and on and on and on. Never forget. No matter how much the devil comes against us, the Lord is the one holding the flag. And that flag always says, we are winning. Romans 8:31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I cannot fix the things that have gone wrong, but I know who can. And I know who will. And I love where Isaiah goes with this. Back in the book of Isaiah now, verse 20. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit is upon thee. Say it out loud with me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Say it again. Say it again. Come on, say it like you believe it. You see what God said? This is my covenant with them. My spirit is upon thee. And my words, which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth. If I hadn't told you where this was found, you'd probably think I was reading from the New Testament. Nor out of the mouth of thy seed. Now out of the mouth of thy seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. God is waving His flag. He is waving our flag. Take courage. God is still on the throne and His Spirit is upon us. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me. Toreshika, Merakoshipra, Nangedaboluya, Brati Labasopa, Kadibolo Koribata, Yastebe, Brotika, Loprotola. Some would say, how dare you speak such a bold word? Not those seated here, or those who faithfully watch and listen online. But those who out of ignorance do not know the Lord and do not know His Word. But I have prophets in the land. I have many prophets in the land. None stands alone. Medokre ba la sha lebro lebreki piata. Lastebrodon gerati alaya robokota. These are my mouthpieces. They are my messengers. It is their role to speak the words I want spoken. There are those who would attack the messenger. My, how they've missed it. Because even if they kill the messenger, they don't kill the message. For the message is declared by Isaiah. Hundreds of years ago, I put my words in your mouth. La ro lebro sharake robotkarega la shamba rate la bodo ralika la tore beshebraba. Those words abide. Those words abide. They shall not fail. Those words abide. I don't operate according to your clock. I don't function by your calendar. I do things my way. I always have and I always will. I did not say. I did not say in 18 months I will put Trump back in the White House. I said, watch what I do the next 18 months. Soraki mon keraba yabrobe de caprica, likrote laba yabrete lebeko prata labatata balkota. So today I refocus you. It has been difficult to stay focused on what I said. I understand. But I give you this word today saying, pay no attention to many of the things that are being said. Put your heart, your focus, your mind, your attention on me and watch what I do. Men set up the plan. Nakre protisha rakidole brangati yokushke radaki da tondre belika. They set up the plan for the way things are to be done in your government. I did not set that up, and I don't have to go by it. I am the Lord your God, and I will do as I please. So the next 9 months, pay attention to the fact that I'm getting things ready. Dahakora la shabra rabir shoprek be krate matkrobulo trebala ya prate de bekita. Relax. 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 Give it a rest. Take the pressure off of yourself. Enjoy your life. Enjoy your days. You cannot make these things happen. I've taught you. Lahori, sobradoni kratele biriatia shamotrebe laka, rabbi tre kananion karatia shabrate, rokodeba demren shabra. I've taught you through this man, through this prophet, and through the words of others, I have taught you that not everything that happens in the world is done by a sovereign God. I have taught you about man's will. I have taught you that people make decisions that I will not override. I have taught you that people can interfere and people can do things that mess things up. But I never intended for you to think that I gave up my sovereignty. I go by my word. I'll never contradict it nor go against it. Lahokorik parisha rashobro kretilibiki makataba. But you serve a great and mighty God. Mighty is your God. Mighty is your God. And great to deliver. Great to deliver. Oh, the mighty, mighty God you serve speaks to you now, saying when it is necessary. And you have not the understanding, nor the ability, nor the power to make things happen. I am never without ability. I am never without understanding. I am never without power. And when it is a moment, and it is right, and it is important for me to move, I will do so. Hallelujah. For you are my children, and I have heard you, and I will answer. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, stand to your feet and give Him praise. Come on, give Him praise. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. 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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Glory to the Father. Glory be to God. The Lord just gave me a word for the president. That's shocking to me. I don't know how to get it, but this was the word. Get out of New York. Completely. They don't like you. Go to Florida where they love you and play golf and let me fix this. Wow. Wow. I hope he sees that. I hope he gets that. Get out of Washington, D.C. Give God 9 months to work on this thing. What all is going to happen? I don't know. I've told you everything the Lord's told me. I'll let you be seated. I'm not going to add anything to what the Lord said. I'm going to chew on this a while. I know when the Lord speaks to me. I know that. Now, I do have these things to say to you, and then we're going to receive the offering. Under the old covenant, a prophet was never allowed to miss it. They killed him if they did. Thank God for the new covenant. Prophet under the new covenant is a ministry gift. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Can a teacher miss it? Yes. Can an evangelist miss it? Yes. Can a pastor miss it? Yes. Can an apostle miss it? Yes. So can a prophet miss it? Yes. But now listen to this, because I don't know if you've ever been taught any of these things or not. I don't know what you've been taught along this line. But for a prophet to say, I missed it, actually, I'd be more cautious about that than I would about saying something that the Lord told me to say. Did you get that?
Yeah.
See, there are a lot of people that God would use in the prophetic, and there have been many ministers, people that were wonderful ministers of the gospel that God would have used in the ministry gift of the prophet, but they were afraid. And they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't give vent to that. They wouldn't allow God to use them in that way because they were just so concerned that they might say the wrong thing or that they might miss it somewhere in giving that prophetic word. Well, I understand that concern, but it concerns me a lot more when somebody that is a prophet is so quickly able to say they missed it. That's like saying, not only am I a prophet, but I have control of when God does things. Did you get that? Some of the prophets today that are waffling and wobbling, and I know some of them are, thank God most of them are not, but some of them that are, I've often thought, well, how'd you like to be Isaiah prophesying about Jesus being born, and you lived and died and been gone for hundreds of years before it ever happens? How'd you like to be in that spot? That'd be a tough thing to deal with. Thank God I've seen so many of the things that the Lord has given me as prophecy. I've seen a lot of them come to pass. Amen. Some of them real quick. One of them in 2 weeks. I told this pastor one time, he had his church up for sale, and I told him, don't sell this thing. Don't do it. He said, well, we've put the word out. We've got it up for sale. And he said, I've got a real estate agent that I'm getting ready to call. I said, don't do that. He said, we're going to put up a sign. I said, don't do that. He said, why not? I said, the Lord just told me to tell you in 2 weeks there's going to be a man walk in your office you've never seen before in your life. You don't know who he is, but he's going to walk in here and he's going to say, I want to know if you want to sell this building. And you're going to say yes. And whenever he hears you say yes, he's going to ask you, what are you asking for it? And you're to tell him, well, I just want you to make me an offer. And he's going to offer you twice what you were going to list it for. And I turned around and walked away from that pastor after I told him that and went on about my business. And 2 weeks later to the day, a man walked in his office and said, I want to know if you want to sell this building. And the pastor said, yes. And he said, what are you asking for? And he said, what are you offering? And he offered him twice what he was going to list it for. And he sold it. I've seen God do things like that. I don't take this stuff lightly. I'm not just being arrogant or haughty whenever I say, I'm not backing off of this. I believe I heard from the Lord. I'm confident I heard. How's God going to work all this out? I don't know. To tell you the truth, and I mean no disrespect by this, I don't care. That's not my business. Sometimes people get an idea and they'll teach something and it's off. It's wrong. And it just doesn't fit with the whole of the Word of God. We have to rightly divide the Word of truth. And so I'm very, very intent on that, very careful about it. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your Word today. From your Word, we call the Bible. But thank you for these words from heaven. Words of encouragement, words of strength. Lord, help people to just leave this with you. Rest. We know if we could have made things different, we already would have. But we're in a spot where it's trust you. That's what we're going to do. Fully and completely. Just rely on you and enjoy our lives like you said. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to give. In Jesus' name, amen.